Good morning. I'm Randy Witzel. Our first reading, Sight Reading 101, is from the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgment. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast? Do you not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such a fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall shine in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall build up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read responsively from Psalm 112. Hallelujah. Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their heads with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth. The desires of the wicked will perish.
Our second reading from the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depth of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by, turn the page, the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. But to those who are unspiritual, do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise as we greet the gospel.
Rise, shine, you people.
Our gospel reading today comes to us as the gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you, you who are the salt and light of the earth. Amen. My favorite chocolate chip cookie in the whole wide world is not part of some secret family recipe. It's not my grandma's or my mom's or my great-grandma's. It might be a secret family recipe, but it's not one that belongs to my family. My favorite chocolate chip cookie in the whole wide world comes from the bakery department at the Shop and Save in Greensburg. I remember those cookies throughout my childhood growing up when they'd appear at various family or community events. And even though the price has gone up over the years, I can remember a while back paying $2.99 for a dozen. Now it's more like $4.99 for a dozen. Even though the price has gone up, the recipe has not changed. I would recognize those cookies by taste, after taking just one bite. They're soft and chewy, but still a little bit crispy. They have the right amount of chocolate chips that it's not overbearing, but you still get chocolate in every bite. There's this sort of rich, buttery flavor to them. They're sweet, but not too sweet. And the thing that I notice the most, there's just a hint of saltiness to them. I believe that it is that saltiness that's what makes them so irresistible. It's what draws me in and makes me crave just one more anytime I have one. It's what makes me walk out of the store with a bag of two or three dozen just about every time I go down to Greensburg to my mom's house. It's that saltiness that really adds to the flavor. To anyone who understands food science, who knows about baking or cooking, that's probably not a surprise. Salt is kind of a magic ingredient. Except for people who are on certain very specific diets, nobody ever eats salt by itself, but it shows up in just about anything that we eat. Both savory things and even sweet things like chocolate chip cookies. Salt, when it's in your recipe, serves to heighten the flavors of the other things that it's paired with. Salt is so incredibly common, but it is so incredibly important. You'd notice if you were eating something that someone had left the salt out of. In modern day language, when we call someone the salt of the earth, usually we're saying it as a compliment. Usually we're talking about someone who's humble and honest, who's good-natured and hard-working. Usually when we talk about people who are the salt of the earth, we're talking about people that we think of as the backbone of society. When we call someone the salt of the earth, we're calling back to these words from Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount. It should be high praise to be called the salt of the earth. But for Jesus, it's more than just a compliment. And maybe to understand that better, we need to think about that second thing that Jesus says to those gathered there that day. He says, "You are the salt of the earth," but then he says, "You are the light of the world." Salt and light don't necessarily seem to have a lot in common, but believe it or not, they do. For starters, light is another essential ingredient. It's not an ingredient for a recipe, but it's an ingredient for life. We need light in order to see and be able to function through most of our daily lives. Plants need light in order to make their own food. The absence of light, it is just as painfully and noticeably obvious as the absence of salt. I think it was a Sunday morning a year or so ago when there was a power outage in the middle of the service, and we were suddenly left with only about half of the lights and none of the screens. And without that light, we were a little bit lost. But the other thing about light The thing that it has in common with salt is that it's not much use by itself. A floodlight placed in the middle of an empty field, shining up at nothing, doesn't do a whole lot of good. It's not much to look at. But you can take that same exact floodlight and point it up at beautiful woodwork, like what we're surrounded by in here. You could take that same exact floodlight and shine it through the stained glass windows of a church. You could take that same exact floodlight and put it at the bottom of one of those big, beautiful old houses in Westmont or Southmont. And that light that by itself isn't much to look at becomes beautiful when it's paired with something else, when it shines on something else. It enhances the things around it. Just like salt, light is so incredibly common. Unless you've been in a cave or a coal mine, you probably don't know what it is to have absolutely no light whatsoever. Light is common, but it's important. When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," it's more than just a compliment. Just like when he says, "You're the salt of the earth," it's a challenge. It's an invitation. One of the areas that modern English falls flat compared to more ancient languages, including the Greek of the New Testament that the Gospel of Matthew was translated from, is that oftentimes we use one word for things that other languages would have had dozens of words for. We flatten our language, and maybe it's easier to understand, but at the same time it can lose some of the nuance and impact. One of those examples is the word "you." In English, we use the same word "you" whether we're pointing at one person or you over here or all of you. We don't have a different "you" for single or plural or huge amounts, but in Greek it was different. In many other languages throughout the world, it is different. When Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," it's not just a compliment that he's giving to one person gathered around him. It's not even something that he's just saying to that group around him. When he says, "You are the salt of the earth," he's talking to everyone. All of you. I prefer to think of it as y'all. Maybe if you've grown up a bit closer to Pittsburgh, it's easier to think of yins. Yins guys are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the light of the world. It's not just one person, it's everyone. And it's not just a compliment, it's an instruction. Go be the salt of the earth. Go be the light of the world. And that's important to know, because one of the other things that salt and light have in common is that even though a little bit of salt or a little bit of light goes a long way, a single grain of salt or a single flicker of light does not amount to much. when you join that little bit of salt with a little bit more, when you join that little bit of light with a little bit more, it becomes that much more powerful. Even a pinch of salt, as they say, can make all the difference. Y'all, Yin's guys, you are the salt and light of the world. Together with each other and together with all of the other parts of the world, everyone else, every part of God's creation, both human and nature, with all of the diverse ingredients that can be added to a recipe, Jesus tells them, go be the salt and light. Go make the world a better place. Because that little bit of salt makes the cookies that much sweeter. That little bit of light makes the stained glass that much more beautiful. It's not just a compliment, it's an invitation. And it's a reminder. Because Jesus doesn't just say that this is what you are. He also gives that second instruction. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't hide your light. It's like he was telling all of us, reminding all of us that we have things that we can contribute to the world. That we can contribute to the recipes that make every part of life so much better. Jesus was telling all of us that we have different gifts, we have different properties, we have things that when they are mixed in and given in the right proportion with other things, that we can make new things, that we can change everything around us, we can make everything around us even just a little bit better. So as for me, I will continue enjoying my favorite chocolate chip cookies. Actually, we're probably going down to Greensburg later today, so I might have to pick up a couple dozen. But I won't just eat them from now on. From now on, I'll let that little bit of saltiness be that reminder for me. Whether I'm eating them in daylight or whether I'm sneaking down into our kitchen in the dark at 2 a.m., I'll be able to taste that saltiness. And I'll let it be that reminder that we are called to be part of a team. That we are invited to be a part of a recipe. To share what we have and make the world a better place. Thanks be to God. Amen.